Welcome to Pandemic Fine. This is Steph, and I'm here with my friend John. John, say hi.
Hi.
John is a friend from many moons ago. John and I knew each other in elementary school, I believe.
Yes.
I can't remember if we went to kindergarten together or not. Were you in Miss
Well,
Hilton's kindergarten class?
we know you and you were in my twin brother's kindergarten class.
Sorry. Did not mean to confuse the two of you, for sure. Yeah, so we go way back. And actually, this is not your first podcast.
Not my first podcast.
No, do you not remember? We recorded a pod, well, maybe it wasn't a podcast. It was a radio show.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That reconciles with my memory. I was like, oh my gosh, did we invent podcasts?
So I don't remember what it was about. About like mental health maybe, but I can't quite remember like what the context was.
I think it was taught, it was Kids Are Talking, which was talking about like current events with high school students, which must have been insufferable in retrospect.
It was groundbreaking, really.
Yes.
And I remember that being very exciting. So that was a cool time. How many episodes did you record back then?
Oh, maybe a half dozen.
I hope that they're on some archive somewhere. Do you have a copy of them?
No, I don't. It was just enough for me to put it as an extracurricular on my college application.
There you go. That's the real gift.
That's right.
Well, John is joining me from a different state, a different time. He's up in upstate New York. I'm down near DC. And we're just touching base on how we've all made it through the last 15 months, 16 months almost now, of weird pandemic stuff. Both of us are parents. One of us has three children. That's John. He gets the award. And as you might know, I have two slightly different ages. So my kids are 8 and 4. John, what ages are your kids?
Mine are 3 months, 3 years, and 5 years.
There you go. So he's even got the littlest one in there. So we're going to talk today about pandemic parenting and sort of see where the road takes us. But it's definitely been a journey of the past 15 or 16 months. I think the hardest part for me in the pandemic is that I usually don't really think of myself as a parent. I mean, I am a parent, right? I have to do parenting stuff, but I still kind of feel like I'm not really a real adult. The pandemic sort of forces you to face adulthood. I had to really come up with how I was going to deal with this and entertain the kids and all that good stuff. So I guess your kids were in preschool when this was going on.
Yeah, and look, even though I think that the average person in a normal time hears someone say they have a 3 month, a 3 year, and a 5 year, and they say, "Whoa, baby, that's a lot."
Yeah.
But I would argue that in the pandemic, we hit a real sweet spot as far as the age of our kids, because my so I gave you their current ages, but at the inception of the pandemic, my oldest was about to turn 4, and my middle child was about 2.5. So we were not at the age where we had to be worried about proctoring remote learning, but they were entering the age where, as sisters, they were able to begin playing together and entertain themselves without having like direct input from the parents.
That's nice. I feel like that's a perfect age. I mean, I think for the most part, my kids did pretty well getting along with each other. But my so I have a I also have two different genders, and I think that plays a role as well. So my son is like super into Legos and building stuff, and my daughter is really good at like smashing them at just the right moment, and like she knows exactly what she's doing because she always gets a reaction. And so there were days when it went great, and there were days when my son was like just at the end of his rope, trying to deal with her. So you know these things happen. But I think that yeah, the beginning of the pandemic, things were probably the most hopeful they were of the whole time, which is weird because what was going on during that time was very uncertain, right? But in terms of parenting, I was like, okay, like we're doing this. Like I invested a lot of money in craft supplies because I was like, we'll just do art every day, and then 2 weeks will be over, we'll be back to school. But I'm not
Do you
totally.
remember like your state of mind? I'm thinking this is like maybe last week of February, first week of March as a parent. And like, what was going through your mind as far as what needs to get done?
I honestly, this is so embarrassing because I teach East Asian history. I teach like IB history of Asia. I do all this stuff with Asia. And my high school students were coming up to me being like, Miss Reeses, like, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? Like, is this virus in China really coming? And I was like, the schools are never going to close. Like, they barely close for snow. We're not going to close for this. And I was really on that train. I was like, guys, everybody's overreacting. It's not that big of a deal. So I really was not prepared for the official closure. That really caught me by surprise.
Well, and look, and I might forgive your high school students for thinking so, because East Asia has much more experience with, viruses. And so you had some implied authority as an expert on that region.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of was of that mind. I was like, it's, you know, they're blowing out of proportion because they want to say there's like this bad stuff in China. It's not really actually as bad as it sounds. Turns out it might have been as bad as it sounded.
So we had a vacation planned. So we go to Florida once a year, every year. And we were in, so we left for Florida on February 28th and we came back on March 14th.
And you got a really good trip right in.
Yes. So that's another way that we hit the sweet spot, because we were the last people who took a vacation in America.
You really were.
But also because we have two young children and we're hearing this in the background and we knew that we were going to be in a different state for 2 weeks, you kind of felt like you needed to take things a little bit more seriously because you weren't going to be home to prepare. And so we actually started like stockpiling in the middle of February.
Wow. You were ahead of the game.
But we were also too early, because all I knew is that there was a disease out there. And I didn't really know what was going to be useful at the time. I have so much Pedialyte in my basement and there was no need for it.
That's so smart. Well, you stocked up on Pedialyte. I stocked up on arts and crafts. Like, which one of those was the right decision? It was definitely weird those first couple of weeks. And I definitely remember, like, schools closed on a Friday. On Saturday, I was, like, texting one of my old coworkers being like, oh, yeah, you know, I could meet now for lunch because I've got a lot of free time on my hands. And then by Sunday, I was like, oh, no, like, I can't go anywhere. We can't do anything. And that's when reality sunk in that this might be a little more than 2 weeks, that a lot might be going on. Those first 2 weeks were very weird. I do remember thinking, like, I just got to stock up on activities and I can get through like the end of March. And then it just kept on going and going. And I think in those first couple of weeks, I made my son keep a journal. And I mean, he wanted to.
What a good mom. I remember thinking in the beginning while I was experiencing it, how much I would like to just journal what is happening, to think about where your state of mind was at the time. And of course I didn't get to it. but that's that's going to be really valuable for him to look back on.
Yeah. So I made it keep a journal. I mean, it probably only has 2 weeks worth of entries in it, because we ended up, as the pandemic went on, I was like, well, I guess we should forget about the journal. It's more of the same every day.
you switch from journaling to changing it from one movie night a week to two movie nights a week.
Oh, yes. So we started out early. I think what my son would probably remember about it was just like, he wasn't allowed to play with his friends for a couple of weeks, in the neighborhood. And it still took a while for us to like emerge out after those first 2 weeks, because nobody knew. It was still such a weird time of like, no one knew anything about what this really meant. And I don't think that the kids really understood that much of it either. I don't know. I mean, your kids are so little. Do you think either of them understood any part of it?
They had no idea. And even though my oldest had, friends, but at the end of the day, for a 4-year-old, like, your best friend is like your mom and dad.
Yeah.
And so she was like, so my dad's home all day. Mom's home all day. This is great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So we settled in pretty well. Now, granted, what I probably am discounting is the anxiety and the uncertainty that was out there at the time, because we didn't know when it was going to end. We were cleaning packages off.
Oh, yes. I forgot about those days. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wiping your groceries down.
Right. But also, like, we were only, at least in upstate New York, we had another month of winter, really. But once the snow melted and it started getting warmer outside, things got a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, definitely was much better in the summer than it was in those first couple of weeks when it was kind of cold. And, you know, April, I remember being very rainy. But once the weather got better, it was a lot more tolerable. The kids could go outside at least. Colds, we took him to the doctor. And I didn't even think anything about it, but I was like, I guess we'll get her tested just in case. And she tested positive. So it became this whole, like, shit show disaster. We had to call the schools. Like, I've never spent this much time on the phone. I never call anybody anymore. So here I am, like, I'm on the phone with her school, my son's school, with my school. Nobody really knew what to do because it was already May of 2021. Like, people were past the pandemic. People thought it was, like, over. So we had to go into, like, you know, this whole mode of trying to deal with that. She ended up getting, she was positive on a rapid test. But because she had symptoms, the doctor was like, oh, that's 80% sure that she has it. So I was sure she had it. She ended up testing negative on the PCR, and actually no one had it. So the true story is that we were fine. But see, in the moment that that happened, she was like, I love having the coronavirus. I love it. And I was like, why? She's like, I don't have to go to school. And I was like, yeah, but don't you miss your friends? And she was like, no, I don't. She was having a great time. And I did something.
So you experienced that age, that was the most burdensome part. I mean, it was someone who was like, yeah, great to be home.
Yeah, exactly. She couldn't have been happier. And I ended up doing some things during that time that I had vowed last March never to do. For example, I don't know if you're a streaming member of Disney Plus.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, thank God. I was going to be like, well, you're not really a parent then. If you didn't subscribe to Disney Plus during the pandemic, who even are you? And one of the things I vowed was that I'm not going to pay $30 for any of the early release movies that come out on Disney Plus until my daughter potentially had coronavirus and I thought we were home quarantining for 10 days. And I was like, fine, I'll buy Raya and the Last Dragon for $30.
I did it too, 2 weeks ago.
It was
That's
working.
When I cracked.
Yeah, you know, you gotta, sometimes you gotta throw some money at that problem. It was like, you know what, let's watch it, let's do it.
Well,
so I did end up doing that.
I will share, as long as we're talking about like parenting insecurities or foibles. So my four-year-old brought to me a toy that she has. It's just a red wooden horse, and she said, hey Dad, look at this horse. And I said, wow, that looks like a Trojan horse. And she was like, oh, well, what's a Trojan horse? And so I told her the story about, nice, like, about Troy. And, you know, the very abridged, simple version about how they tricked him. And as, like, you know, a 4 or 5-year-old does, they say, well, can I see a picture on your phone? And I quickly Googled it. And what do I get? I get the horse from the movie Troy. And then it really snowballed from there. Uh-oh. Because she said, well, I wanna see it. And so I was like, well, and I actually have the movie, like I downloaded it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, we'll just watch the horse part. Just watch the Greek soldiers get out of the horse and that'll be enough. But we started building on that. And then they started watching more and more of Troy. And then we went on Etsy, bought wooden swords, and now they're very into it.
I love it, and
they've seen way more movie than I ever would have imagined I would have allowed.
But I
rationalize it by saying that I'm raising empowered, strong women.
Yeah, I support that. I think that's great. Yeah. I like the history aspect of it also. There you go. But yeah, no, my husband watched like the Avengers series with my son, which I was like, not till he's 10. That's what we've been saying for years. And then I was like, whatever, I don't care anymore. Whatever entertains him.
Oh my gosh, what did he do at the end? It was so sad.
They haven't finished the last one yet. They're in process. But basically, okay, when my husband puts my son to bed, instead of reading books, they now just like talk about Avengers movie plots, and I can't relate like at all. So I'm really cut out of that equation these days.
Well, in the middle of the pandemic, we went through a phase where my oldest would ask me to tell her a story and I was running out of material. And so you just start telling the stories that other people did. And so I started telling her the story of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, yeah.
And so for a good like 2 months of the pandemic, she thought I invented the story of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And she's like, Dada, you make really good stories.
You're basically C.S. Lewis.
Yes, yes.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah, I feel like we got pulled into that storytelling thing with my 4-year-old for a while, and she would be like, tell me a story about a time when it was really scary when I was a baby. And I was like, "That's I don't want to talk about any of those moments. I don't even remember exactly what they were, but there was lots of them, I'm sure, where you were a newborn and I was terrified. Did you get any good toys during the pandemic? Did you, besides TV, which we, I think we all can admit was a key to parenting through the last 16 months, did you get any toys that you thought your kids were really into?
Well, look, I think that in most parent couples, there's like two ends of the spectrum where there's one person who is more inclined to just get them the toy. Like they could use another doll. And the other one who is cleaning stuff up and saying, we have too much shit. Yes. And so yes. I'm the guy, I'm the Grinch who's stomping around saying, why do we need another baby doll? Why do we need another dollhouse? And so I'm probably not the person, but I did, in fact, it was my wife in March, as we were in the doll, like the very end of the winter, she found like a 25-foot slip and slide, inflatable slip and slide. And I have a big lawn where that is at least 200 feet long.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And that, and it has a hill on the top. And so she texts me this link for this 25-foot slip and slide. And my reaction was get two. And so actually two, in fact, it was last weekend we broke it out. And that's been a bit of, I'm anticipating that's going to be a real theme for this.
Oh, that sounds amazing. And I bet you're like the hit of the neighborhood now. I'm sure you have all the kids coming over.
Well, in fact, on the second day, it was the Sunday afternoon, and one of the dads of a family next door, he was just walking his dog down our street, and he saw us, and we got him to come over, and he went down in his, you know, walking around clothes.
That's awesome.
And then I texted it to his wife, and I didn't get a response, and I've heard nothing from him since.
So she's probably just jealous she wasn't the one taking the dog out that day. she didn't have to come over for it.
Yeah, or jealous of the slip and slide, or who knows what.
There you go. Well, we got, like, at the beginning of the pandemic, I think probably over the summer last year, we got heavily into slime. Slime was a real hit in this house, and again, this is one of those things I vowed. I'm never going to get into slime because it's disgusting and annoying to clean up. I hate Play-Doh enough as it is in terms of the cleanup job, so I didn't want any slime. But somehow my daughter, like, figured out on Alexa, I don't know if you have an Alexa, figured out on Alexa how to have Alexa show her a video of somebody making slime. So she's like, loves watching those videos, and so every once in a while, I'll be fine, you know, go watch a slime video. So we bought her this slime, and I was truly horrified. She takes the slime out of the container. She's, like, loving it. She's doing all this stuff, mixing it up. And then she's like, hey, everybody, if you like this slime, hit subscribe on the button below. And I was like, oh, she's 4-year-old. She thinks she's a YouTuber. So horrible. So, you know, that felt like a bit of a parenting fail.
No, well, and I think that, look, we are serial buyers of Play-Doh. And also, by the way, full disclosure, I'm the wrong guy to be asking this, because my wife is the one who, like, I'm the parent who secretly, in fact, who secretly buys them the swords from Troy on Etsy so that we can play sword fight together. And my wife is the one who has practical and reasonable shopping tastes for our children, because she has spent my wife is home with them all day long. Mm-hmm. And so she has a better sense of what is going to engage them over the course of a day.
She's more of a curator of activities.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, the other thing that happened during the pandemic is that we had a couple of slight disasters. One of which was slime in the hair. That's not even worth telling the story.
You did, can you have imagine to cut how it out? Went.
How did I get it out?
Did you have to cut it out?
No, thank God. We just washed it out. It was just kind of like in her hair for a couple of days. Like, she didn't look well. She'd look very clean for a couple of days, but, you know, we're all at home. Who cares?
Who cares?
Eventually it came out. But my sister, who you know also, she was living in Philadelphia at the time in like an apartment. She had just had a baby. So she had two kids. my niece, who's only 8 weeks older than my daughter, and then her baby. And so they came down a lot during the summer months of the pandemic to hang out and have some space. It wasn't just an apartment in the middle of the city. And so one day I was like, why don't you just leave, my niece here for a couple of days? We'll have like a little camp. It'll be so fun. And it was really fun. And then like on the second to last night before she was supposed to go back to her mom, the kids were like out playing in like the sprinkler or something. So all in the bathing suits, and they come back in. I'm like, just get in the shower, all of you. And like, we'll get you sorted for bed, whatever. So they're in the shower and I go back in the kitchen to grab like a cup of water and come back into the bathroom. And like, I was like, oh, they must be done by now. I open the shower curtain and like, at first I thought maybe a squirrel had been in the house because there's a lot of hair in the bathroom. And then I looked at my son and I realized he had shaved like just a square right in the front of his head. And then I looked at my daughter and she has a bald spot sort of in the center of her hair that's clearly been shaved off. And then I look at my niece and my niece has shaved like chunks of hair off the side and one right in the front as well. So they had found my electric razor and had just gone to town and had a great old time. So then I had to call my sister, who, as you know, is not exactly the most chill of people, and explain to her via FaceTime, like, we just have something I need to tell you. Actually, I remember what happened. I told my husband, you call my brother-in-law. You guys talk about it first, and then I'll talk to Amy, because I can't do it. I can't just call Amy first. So he calls my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law is crying. He's laughing so hard because his daughter looks not so great. Then Amy gets on the phone and Amy's just crying. She's so upset about it. And I was like, this is so awful. This is so awful. Everyone shaved their head while I was in the kitchen for 3 seconds. You couldn't have waited. So that was probably our biggest disaster of the pandemic.
I feel like what I would have done would have been, I would have been silent on it until they showed up. And then a parent entering a situation where they see their kid with their head shaved off, they can't really get, or they have to at least exercise some modicum of control to be a good example. Mm-hmm. And I would leverage that.
That's a good point. I probably should have just waited.
Put it back on them and force them to exercise the self-control.
Yes, that's a good idea. I'm going to try that next time. Instead, we kind of like the kids got over it. My son was like, who cares? I don't understand the big deal. And I was like, yeah, because you're a boy, like you just shave your head and nobody will care. Not so much for the other two. Like my poor daughter had like a bald spot in the middle of her head for the last year, but it's slightly better now. Same
you
with
can't,
my niece.
You can't even see the bald spot in the middle of the head. Most of the pictures are head on.
True. That's true. But my husband and I just were like sitting on the porch, like shell shocked, like, oh God, no one's ever going to leave their children with us again. And my coworker walked by. My coworker is older than me and he has kids who are like in their 20s. And I was like, can I just tell you something's going to happen so that you can tell me it's going to be fine in 20 years? So he was like, yeah, this is going to be the greatest story you tell at the wedding. I'm like, all right, you're right. This will be hilarious in time.
Now, did you engage? So I don't know what your neighborhood is, how long you've been there, but did you find that you engaged more with your neighborhood in the pandemic than before?
Yeah. So we moved into our neighborhood in 2019. And so we didn't really know. We moved in March of 2019. So we had been here like almost a year when the pandemic happened. And we knew like generally who lived where, but we didn't spend a lot of time with them or anything like that. But as soon as like the weather got warm enough for kids to be out of the house, everybody was out. And so now like there's a whole sort of crew on the street that hangs out. The kids are really good together, which has been really nice because I think that especially our schools didn't open up in person until March of this year. So for this whole year to have at least somebody around that they could interact with has been nice. How about you?
I think it has been a real silver lining to the pandemic. In that, in an age where, we are increasingly communicating digitally, that particularly coming out of the beginning of the pandemic, everyone was so ready for direct interaction. Yes. I remember because, we would be, we'd have the sprinkler going in our front yard and we're on a cul-de-sac. And so someone's walking their dog and all of a sudden you are like, I don't know, the crazy person in the supermarket who wants to engage and talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on over. We got popsicles.
So true.
And
Yeah, there
then,
was definitely a lot more like random, small talk that normally I would avoid, but instead I was like, "This is wonderful. Please tell me more about how you're doing today."
yes, and so, and that's actually, we ended up engaged, we ended up finding some other families that, in fact, we also had some families that moved into our neighborhood
Oh,
during the
nice.
pandemic who had young children, and it's just, it's been great. We didn't have that before, and now we do, and it just makes life easier
Oh, it does, yeah.
when they're nearby, and you know, when if you have a slip and slide outside, then they can run outside and be like, hey, can we come over and play?
It's awesome. And it's also great because like everybody watches out for each other a little bit. And one of my daughters, and actually both kids, are good friends with a family a couple houses down who have their grandmother lives with them along with their parents. And so she's always out usually when they're playing. And my son will just come up to me and I'll be like, are you going over to their house? Like, is it somebody out there watching you? Like, who's out? Just in case, like, I need to go over there. And he's like, oh, yeah, grandma's watching us. And I'm like, grandma who? Who's grandma? What are you talking about? And now she's like the neighborhood grandma that helps watch the kids when they're playing, which is nice. But yeah, I wonder if that's true for a lot of different people. I didn't think about that as being quite so universal. But yeah, I think that the neighborhood get-togethers is definitely a silver lining that we wouldn't have had otherwise. We had an outdoor movie at Halloween. Like, people can really come out of their shells. It's been really nice.
See, the other thing I liked about the the neighborhood engagement, particularly in the early part of the summer, is that, you know, we were all still so nervous about coronavirus that, you know, you had to maintain your boundaries. And so if you got together with people, particularly in your neighborhood, everyone brought their own drinks, brought their own
Yes.
food. And so you didn't have that hosting pressure, or like the rotating hosting.
Yes, that's a good
And
point.
so I felt like it made it much like lower drag
Yeah.
and more organic
It's
than
true.
I think a lot of times I felt like it was before.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't think about that, but you're right, because there wasn't people don't want you to host, right? Or they didn't want you to host last summer because of the pandemic, and that actually worked out to make social situations a little less stressful. That's a very good point. I hadn't thought about that. I was going to ask you about mask wearing. How did your kids do with masks?
So my younger, and so I've always have a hard time like placing my children in conversation because I now have a third, so I can't
Yes.
call them the
But you're
youngest
only 3 months
anymore.
into having to mention him.
Yeah. So my youngest at the time was just 2 years old, and so no chance in hell that she was going to wear a mask. I mean, it was that's like you couldn't pull it off, but by the fall, she was able to do it. She would wear a
Oh, good.
mask. And look, I think the kids just got used to it. I mean, they're just much better at adapting than we are.
So true.
And at the end of the day, it's not that bad.
It's really not that bad.
My biggest issue with mask wearing is that I'm a glasses wearer, and so
Oh.
depending upon the environment, it can be very challenging.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely the hardest part as an adult is, and like wearing them when it's hot outside is like not my favorite activity, but it's still better than having coronavirus, so I'll do it. Yeah, I think both of our kids did pretty well. I think you're right. Like they just adapted so much easier. But I do remember the beginning of the pandemic. Remember at the very beginning of the pandemic, they were like, "Don't wear masks. It could make it worse." So nobody's wearing masks. And then all of a sudden they're like, "No, wear the mask. Masks are essential." And I remember it being really hard to find any masks that were for sale. Like I remember somebody's house, like a couple neighborhoods away, I was going for a walk and they had just set out a basket. It was like an honor system, put $20 in and take a mask. And I almost did it. But and then I was like, I don't know, maybe it's for more desperate situations than just walking around.
Did
So
you
my
have someone in your group of friends who was the stockpiler dealer for everyone? Who,
I
like,
didn't
when you didn't
actually,
have
but that would
toilet
have been
paper,
nice.
you called them, and then you had like a back alley deal to get a
Oh,
six
that's
pack
good. Yeah.
of Downy.
Yeah. It's all about who you know in the mask wearing industry. It turned out that my sister's mother-in-law was sewing masks. So she actually sent us our first set of masks. And of course, like within one day, my son's broke and we wanted to like be able to go outside or something. So I was like, we got to fix this mask. Do I have any elastic on hand to sew into the mask? No, I don't. I'm not a sewer. I don't have the stuff. So I ended up like cutting the rim of his underwear off. Like
Yes.
jerry-rigging some way of doing it. We still have the mask, and every once in a while, if every mask is dirty, he still has to wear that one. He'll be like, I just can't believe there's underwear in this mask. I'm like, well, nobody would know that. Just don't tell people. It's fine. But yeah,
Well,
you took whatever
I
you
was
had
gonna
in the fiber,
say
that thing.
that could have been worse. You could have just taken the underwear and made him wear it on his head.
I've seen that strategy too. I think I did show him that video. Like, listen,
If
here's
you're in a
your
pinch,
options.
like just so you know, if I'm ever not there and you need a mask, this is what you do. Take off your
Pop
underwear, put it on your head.
it on.
That's
It's
right.
fine. It won't be weird at all.
What about your experience with birthday parades?
Ooh, birthday parades. We had one for my husband. My husband's birthday is May 6th, so I like told his family to come down. And they live like 40 minutes away in Maryland also. But so they came down, and I had bought him like a birthday sash, and they were just going to do a drive-by. I was going to give everybody like a pre-packaged cake pop and whatever. So I got him a birthday sash, and he was like, I'm not coming out. He
Oh,
was like,
no.
did you tell the whole neighborhood I'm not coming out? The neighborhood is driving by, I'm not doing it. And I was like, would you just come out? Like, I'm not going to use this opportunity to embarrass you. So he finally came out. And of course, it was just his family, but our neighbors like had seen the whole commotion of him not coming out of the door. So then they were all like, happy birthday. So I was like, well, that's on you, man. That was our first drive-by birthday, but we didn't go to many for the kids. What about you guys?
Oh, it was a real part of life for us. Well, so my oldest, her birthday is on April 6th. So she was, and so, I mean, we had a birthday planned, and that was right in, there was no chance. Nothing was open. We were still in lockdown. And so it was actually the first birthday parade that we did with our group of friends was for her.
Oh, you started the trend.
We did. And then look, I think that I'm over birthday parades, but for a period of time, I really liked it because, that is, going to a birthday party can be such a time consuming, I mean, for the adults, it blows the whole day. It can
It
blow the
really
whole
does.
weekend. Because you might have back to backs, and when it's a birthday parade, you're limited.
You're in, you're out. Yeah.
Right.
There's
And
some real advantage
you
there.
get your connection. And so there were plenty of times that we really leaned in to the birthday
Oh,
parade
yes.
concept.
I do like the idea. I think that's very true. I birthday parties, now that my kids are a little bit older, like I can drop off my son for sure. My daughter, she just doesn't have as many birthday parties as, when the kids get a little bit older, I feel like they have more of them. But they are so painful when you have to stay. And so you're right, birthday parades are a great way to avoid those horrible 3-hour, very loud endeavors.
And I think that we should probably get better at normalizing birthday parades for children who don't understand they're having a birthday.
Yes. That
So let's
is
just
so
make a
true.
rule that says if you're turning two,
Birthday
sorry.
parade.
Sorry, bud. It's a birthday parade.
Yes.
I
No one
think,
wants to come to a 2-year-old's party,
yeah,
including the other
no.
2-year-olds. 2-year-olds don't really like being around each other.
No,
They don't play together.
they hate each other.
It's just a
It
massive sharing fight. No one wants to
just
be there
becomes Lord of the Flies over the balloons.
for that. Oh yeah, balloons are a real issue. I can say that when we did my husband's like drive-by party in May of last year, he got a bunch of balloons, and that is like the one. It's not even really a toy. The one item in the home that guarantees horrible fighting almost immediately after the doors close. The minute that balloon comes in the house, everybody wants to do something annoying with it. Everybody's fighting over them, and I hate balloons. I'm anti-balloon officially.
Well, and so my wife was very concerned about balloons because of the choking hazard that if they pop, and as they are popping, the child opens their mouth and breathes in,
Sucks it
they
in.
sucked it in.
Happens
I
all the
believe it like conceptually, but
time,
practically speaking, I thought that we were
I
overdoing it a
think. Yeah, I've
bit, but.
never thought of them as a choking hazard in that way. I thought maybe you meant like, oh, they're going to try and blow them up and like accidentally swallow it, but that's an interesting twist on that. Interesting,
That
interesting.
that's why my wife and I are a good balance together.
There you go. That's right. The yin to your yang.
That's right. That's right.
What about, I guess, is your youngest, oldest daughter going to kindergarten?
she's going to kindergarten next year, or in the fall.
In the fall, nice. So did she have like a graduation ceremony this year, or are you still in school?
We are still in school. The graduation ceremony, it's probably a week away. And I don't even know what is entailed at the moment, but I'm sure it's what I, and there's another thing I like, you know, it's going to be kind of like a birthday parade version of a moving up ceremony.
Yes. And that's what I was thinking, is that birthday parades have been great. Why are we not doing them for all ceremonial affairs? For example, last year, like, our seniors did not get an actual graduation ceremony because it was in June. That was like sort of right in the middle of all this. And so they did a graduation parade. It was so much better. It was mm-hmm. so much better. I'd so much rather do that every single year than have to sit in chairs and listen to like some people give the same old speeches every year.
Well, and tying together how we were starting with talking about movies, how about the old Disney movies? Do you remember how they put the credits in the very beginning and mm-hmm. it was drawn out and everyone was getting their credit? Yes. And now we've evolved. And now we know that nobody wants to watch the credits. We put it at the end. We tuck it in because we're not going to really watch it. We can do that for all sorts of events.
Yes, we can do that for everything. It's time. I think it's time. This is the big takeaway of the pandemic, is we don't need these events anymore. No one is really enjoying them.
Yet you have a keynote speaker, and mm-hmm. then you just have a screen that scrolls very quickly through all the graduates' names.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's unbelievable, like, how many, within, as a teacher, I can tell you from the parent side of things, there's so many parents who are like, really want to see that moment, which, like, sometimes I get it, but what's wrong with the parade version of that? I think that could be just as enjoyable. And your cars are decorated. It's much more festive.
They're air conditioned.
They're air conditioned. Exactly. Exactly. This year, they like finally lifted the restrictions. So now we're going to be graduating. We normally graduate inside. Now our students are graduating outside. And we just got word this week that teachers have to attend. So I'm like, great. I get to sit outside for 3 hours in a polyester robe, 3 feet apart from anyone else. So it'll be interesting. See how that goes. What about like mask wearing in the fall? Do you think people are going to keep doing this, or are we done with masks?
Well, I'll tell you. So I remember when I went to the supermarket and I first saw someone wear a mask. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, should I be wearing a mask right now? And then, you know, you immediately switch and it becomes all masks all the time. Mm-hmm. And then it was just last Friday in New York, it was something like Wednesday, I want to say, when they said, look, you don't need to wear a mask inside if you're vaccinated. And mm-hmm. I was at Home Depot. One of the things we picked up is I'm very into our garden now. And so I was at Home Depot looking for some steaks for my peonies. And I was outside and I noticed that there were people who weren't wearing their masks. And I was like, oh, what a bunch of assholes. And then I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, wait, we maybe it's because like we're just outside. But then I went inside and I saw people weren't wearing masks. And it was like 85 degrees. Mm. And so, you know what I did? I took off my mask. And it felt the exact same way as in the very beginning of the pandemic when I like first wore the mask to the supermarket. And so I think it's going to get back to normal, or back to normal, so to speak, relatively quickly. And also, when I look at in my region, and what makes me a little bit more comfortable with it is that when I look at the New York Times tracker of like what percentage of your population is vaccinated in mm-hmm. my county, it's 67%.
Nice.
Good. Of 18 plus. And so it feels a little bit better doing that in that environment than if I were somewhere where there was a lot of vaccination skepticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It could be a lot more stressful in other areas of the country, shall we say.
Yes.
I guess we should probably wrap up. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about pandemic parenting? What's it like having a newborn during the pandemic?
Oh, I will comment quickly on this because it's going to be something that perhaps others won't. Another thing that I think we could take from the pandemic. So having a child, so I remember I had a friend who had a baby in April. And I just remember thinking at that time, that poor son of a bitch. Yeah, you know, he imagined the bad luck having a baby you know, in April of the pandemic, and we ended up being locked down for a while and thinking like, oh, this could be a good time to have a baby. Because it was over the summer, we were feeling better about everything.
Yeah.
And then we get to, in our baby was born at the end of January. The baby was born at the peak of the pandemic in the United States. And look, we have two kids. And so the rules are that you go in, you birth in the hospital, and then you go to your room and you have to stay there for the entire time. You can't leave the room. Well, we're used to being home with two kids, and instead we're in one room, two parents, one newborn who's sleeping most of the time. It was amazing.
That sounds like a vacation.
It was amazing. We knew what we were getting into, so we brought tons of snacks, a little liquor. It was actually a much better experience once we were through it and didn't have the COVID anxiety of going through the entire
process. Yeah. I imagine that part of it was stressful, but that does sound like a vacation, and I'm a little bit jealous almost.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing. I know. I feel like just now all the babies who were born during the spring of last year, like finally emerging and like seeing the world, and they have no idea what they're getting into. It's a very weird time for them.
Well, but for our younger girl, I remember, because she was just getting into 2 years old at the beginning of the pandemic. And so even though she had lived plenty of time beforehand, she hadn't really experienced the world. And so I remember when we started like being willing to take the kids out again. But until then, I remember she asked, when I said, oh, we have to get some spaghetti. And she said, do you go to Starbucks? Because that's the only place she had been before.
Right, it's her only frame of reference.
Right, and she knew that she maybe would get a cake pop if she went to Starbucks.
Oh, yeah, that's also a good... We did a lot of Starbucks drive-through for cake pops and coffee. Yeah, that's funny you mentioned that, because we just went out to dinner last night with the kids for the first time. Like, we maybe went out once last summer, like, to an outdoor restaurant, and we went out this week to a restaurant and actually ate. I mean, it was indoors, but there was like a wall that was open to the outside. I just wanted to defend myself a little bit there. I'm not sure I'm ready for indoor dining, but I just want to say that it wasn't fully indoor. But I can only describe what my children were doing as planking. They were just like laying on the booth, and I was like, hello, what is happening right now? They just, you know, they're out of practice.
Well, or they're just confident.
Or they're just confident, like, this is the new normal.
That's right.
There we go. Well, thanks for coming to my podcast. Thanks for bearing with some technical difficulties at the beginning here. It was great to catch up with you after so many years. And I hope I keep getting to see pictures of your kids on Instagram, because I think they're adorable.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me. I look forward to being at the beginning of a long chain of podcasts.
That's right. That's right. Well, as an experienced radio host, I'm just honored that you were here.
I'm buying in early. Thanks, Steph.
All right. Bye.
Bye.